Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to your weekly astrological weather. This is the first time we are doing the weather on Monday. And Anne, we had overwhelming response from the audience. Everyone was so happy. It's like, yes, Monday. I don't have to wait an extra day. So we're happy to be here with you. Thanks, everybody, for joining. And Anne, last week we talked about this Hammer of Thor theme that we've had the last 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. We talked about last week being a week where we might, the Hammer of Thor was still present, and we might get some clarity on like forward action or what to do with some of the things that had come up. So where are we at this week in terms of intensity, the scale of 1 to 10?
Very intense week because Mars is stopping and Jupiter's stopping.
Yes.
So Mars is, you know, and when they're outer planets, we feel them the 5 days before. The planet gets to the degree where it's going to stop, so we feel it building up. So Wednesday, Mars stops, the 9th. So the 5 days before last Thursday, Friday, Mars is, of course, in Aries. You know, and here in the States, we had a story about the military and also about how we take action. Then on Saturday, Jupiter's going to station. And he is going to station and turn direct. So he is at that point, and then we go 5 days for him to today. So everybody's happy they're getting their podcast early, right?
Yes.
So that's Jupiter and Capricorn, because we started this when Jupiter was at the same degree. So now we've moved it. Oh, and everybody's like, oh, we like this. We like this on Monday, right? So Jupiter is now there. And then Mars, of course, he's at the very last degree of Aries, so he's really frustrated. And so you want to, and then he's going to stop, and then everything from when he went into Aries, right, is active. But it also takes us back to last March when Mars was hanging out with Saturn and Jupiter and Pluto, the COVID clump, and Athena and Wuhan. We want to include the asteroids too. And then now he's squaring it. So he went through and he woke them all up. And we all call an opening square a crisis of consciousness, where we become aware of something. And then we have the full aspect, which is when Mars gets to Cancer, you know, 6 months from now, 6 months after he finishes the retrograde, so next summer. And then closing square is psychological. So this is the opening square where we have to take action.
Wait, Kate, can you do that again? So we have the crisis of consciousness.
We have the conjunction, right? And then we go to the opening square. Uh-huh. Which is, we have to take action. It's the crisis of consciousness, take action. You become conscious of something and you go, oh my God, I have to do this.
And when was that? That was March, you said?
That's now.
No. Okay.
The conjunction was the beginning of the COVID journey.
Right. Okay.
We shut down. Now we're at the crisis point. Mm-hmm. How are we going to take action? What are we going to do about it? And then we get to the opposition when Mars gets into Cancer about 9 months from now, because we have the retrograde we have to go through. That's the opposition. And we look at it in the face. And then we get to the closing square when Mars gets to Libra, which is the psychological integration. So this is the action Jackson moment. When Mars went into a shadow July 25th, he said, okay, everything from July 25th through this Wednesday, September 9th, you're going to work on for the next 2 months, the next till the end of January. So I'm going to bring this stuff to your attention. You have to figure out what you want to do with it. And then you get to revise it between September 9th and November 13th. And then once you've revised it, then we go forward into a new chapter from November 13th till the end of January. Mm. So anything that you brought in this period. So in my case, July 25th, I got sick with COVID. So I canceled August. I'm starting to read them, but everybody got up moved into October, November slots, September, October, November slots. So I'm going to spend the retrograde redoing everybody that didn't get read, right? And then hopefully when I get to September or November 13th, I don't get COVID again, because now they're saying you can catch it again. And I'm like, ah, shit, man, I don't want that. But I'm then going to be able to move forward with new stuff. So this, everything you've learned and look in your life, all the stuff that came to light that you went, oh, I have to do something about that. Now you have to, now you're going to get to do that opportunity once we get to September 9th. Mm. And so it's big. It's big. And it's also, we're reopening, and then we're going, can we really reopen the schools? Maybe we need to shut them. You know, so when Mars goes retrograde, everything goes backwards. The action that we've been taking since July, we go back and redo everything from July 25th to now. So a lot of people had, you know, difficult news with the hammer of Thor or difficult news around relationships, because it's a crisis of consciousness. It was an opening square where you fought with your partner. You didn't, you know, you had a fight with your kid. You decided rah, 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 with your job, whatever the COVID Aries square did for you. And you go forward. So in my case, one of the things that's happened is I've had people I didn't know listen to the podcast say things to me when I tell stories on the podcast. They apparently don't listen to the Weekly Weather, but they listen to this one. So last week I had somebody call me and say, I didn't like that story you told. You made me look bad. And I said, no, I didn't mean to. I was trying to tell the story. Well, Amanda thought I was mean. And I said, no, Amanda doesn't think anybody's mean. Amanda's a Gemini moon. She loves everybody. But it was, I had to be aware of, yes. You know, I, you know, when David wrote, you know, I didn't tell you the hammer of Thor, you learned that from somebody else. And I'm like, okay. So my hammer of Thor was people I didn't know listened to the podcast checking in.
Yeah.
And I said, Amanda loves everybody. Don't you love everybody, Amanda?
Yes.
Okay.
I love humans.
I love humans. And you understand them.
Yes, absolutely. Oh my God.
Do you have a lot of Capricorn in your chart?
Yes.
Do you really appreciate how hard work in life is?
Oh my gosh, yes.
Yes.
Sun, Venus, Mercury, Capricorn, yes. And the Aquarius rising in me too is just like, I
want to hug everybody.
Yeah, and that's the part of me that just loves humanity and like sees our struggle and like we're all doing it together. Like, yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay. So now we get to revise that story and figure it out and what we want to do about it, mm-hmm. right? And then we get to go forward and say, okay, what are we doing next?
Okay. All right.
It's big. So the energy of the Mars station is hard because it's the 5 days leading in, which is last Thursday, Friday, which Mars and Aries is military. So we had the military stuff, but Mars stopping at the last degree of Aries. He's so intense and I have to do something, but he's so frustrated. And then he goes backwards. Yeah. And then he goes backwards until November 13th. So when we're, you know, I was watching Meet the Press this weekend and Chuck Todd had on vote counting people, right? He goes, don't think election day, think election period.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, Mars goes direct on November 13th. That's probably when we're going to know what the results are.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So it's understanding that everything that came up in our life, in the culture, we're going to watch that story unfold, go backwards, and then we're going to watch it go forwards as of the 13th of November. So it's big. And of course, our election is tied to it, so I'm watching that. But everybody in your own world, your own cultures, just think about where Mars is in your chart. So Mars in my case is in my second house of money. I canceled all those appointments because I was sick. And then when I was getting better, I didn't have the energy. So I didn't want to read somebody and not give them their money's worth. So I'm aware of giving the client their money's worth for the service I provide. Mm-hmm. Seventh house, Virgo sun, right? Like I want to make everybody happy and make them, you know, and I've been saying to people, are you happy with your reading? Which I don't normally ask. Because I'm going to make sure, because I know how I read, but I also can feel like I'm reading, but it's a little shift. You know, so I want to make sure that I answered their questions and they're happy and, you know, whatever. So that's the energy of for me. And everybody else look at what happened from July 25th through Wednesday. And then that's your story. Till
Wednesday of last week or Wednesday of this
Wednesday
week?
This week, the 9th.
This week. Okay.
Wednesday the 9th. The 9th, yeah.
And Anne, would you say that, and I think you did say this, but I just want to ask you again.
Gemini moon.
Exactly. Yes. Relationships, would you say that that's like the primary focus of?
Depends on where your COVID clump is. So in your case, you're a Capricorn. So where is Aries in your chart?
Well, Aries in my natal chart is in the seventh house.
Of other people. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, where is transiting Aries? Where is transiting Mars in Aries?
I don't know. How do I know?
You're Aquarius rising.
Yes.
So Saturn's in your 12th house. The COVID clump's in your 12th. So you're providing a service to people that watch the podcast and apply it to their lives. And your Mars is in your second and third house.
Mm.
So you're taking action of value. You know, you're taking action hopefully to provide value to people. Yeah.
Okay. So... I can say that I have felt this station, like this, it's almost like I keep hearing that sound that like, boom, it feels like the planets are just like, they're just present and solid and sitting there. And it's like, it's almost like they're grinding on us. Like there's something so intense with this lack of movement, you know, with this lack of motion. And so would you say that, you said any like forward movement that's happened in the last, since July 25th, it's going to feel like we're going backwards. What, I mean, again, I know I say this a lot, but I'm going to say it again because I think we need to be reminded. It's not happening to punish us. There's something that we're needing to glean as we go back through some of these things over again. So like for you, if you got sick during COVID, during that last period, this might be okay. I'm just throwing this out there.
Because get your health in order in.
Yeah. Yeah, and I know you were starting to make some improvements in your health. So it's like, okay, like get really serious about those things.
I lost 23 pounds with COVID.
Amazing, amazing. Yes, yeah, so.
Like what a diet starter, not an easy way, but you know, I'm like, all right, I'm down some weight. Yeah.
I mean, but we've talked before about how the things that happen in threes, it's like, okay, here's the first pass. All right, now's the second pass. Like, how are you going to deal with this differently? How are you going to see it differently? How are you going to approach it differently? And then the third pass is like, okay, integrate everything you just learned. So we're in the second pass, right? Mm-hmm.
Right. And we have a lot of threes, Goldilocks and the Three Bears, Three Wishes, right? Think of all the threes, the things that come in threes, you know, a three leaf clover is lucky. So, and literally we know the
dimension,
the third dimension. Yes. Yeah. We're in 3D. You know, we see, you know, you wear those little weird glasses and you go to 3D movies, but we're also, you know, it's kind of, and people know planets don't stop, but what it is, you know how you're driving on the highway and you pull up next to someone and you're both going 60 miles an hour and you look and you can see them. You know, my sister used to love to watch them picking their nose. I'll check and see if she's, and she would go, don't pick your nose. And then you pull ahead and they look like they're going backwards. And then they go, okay, let me pull up. And then we're going to go forward again, right? So that's kind of the process. Then they come to pass you. So back when she was a basketball coach, she drove a lot recruiting. And so she liked riding in truck drivers' air trains. You know, they make a little vapor behind the truck. So she would ride up next to the truck driver, kind of look at them, and they would, you know, whatever the symbolism, I don't know, there's some kind of handshake you do. And then she would ride behind and get behind the truck and ride the truck. And then when she would get to wherever, she would ride out because it saved your gas because pays attention to money. And then she would pass them, right? So it's a forward, backward. So it's a dance of how do I go forward? And of course, the COVID clump has really caught our attention. It stopped the whole world. And now we're figuring out how are we going to maneuver with it, work with it, do it. What's that look like? That now that we're going backwards, we're going to have an opportunity to reevaluate it or to change our plans. You know, my old assistant, Rachel, they had planned a road trip. They're pregnant, going to have a baby in Capricorn time back when Mars is there. So they planned a road trip. So they revised the road trip plan and they're going around New York State instead of out into the infected areas. So it's revising your plans, revisiting your ideas, figuring out what you're going to do. Goes forward November 13th. And that will feel like July 25th. So I'm going to be really careful not to ride a bus right around then. And then we can go forward.
Okay. So yeah. In terms of the frustration, the Mars frustration, seeing that manifest in lots of different ways. Yes.
Yeah. Growl.
You know, one of the things I've seen helpful is to just kind of like call it out and be like, it's okay. Like you're frustrated and that's okay. You know, like, I get it. This is a frustrating time and this is a frustrating situation. What else? I mean, first of all, do you see that the whole entire Mars retrograde period is like frustrating?
Yes.
Okay.
How much fun did you have from July 25th to now? Whatever that story was, you get to go back and redo it, revise it, revisit, argue with it again. Because remember, when it's a 1, 2, 3, Goldilocks didn't like porridge number 1. She didn't like porridge number 2. Porridge number 3 was right, you know. So it's understanding that, you know, you make the wish, then you go, that's not really what I wanted. And then number 2 is I revise it. And then number 3 is, okay, now I got the right version. So go watch Nanny McPhee with Emma Thompson. It's a great movie because the kids go, I want to stay in bed all day. And she goes, okay. And she stamps her cane And then they're stuck in their beds. And they go, that's not what I wanted. And then she goes, ah. And then she goes, and she releases them. And then they learn how to ask properly. They learn how to do it properly. So yes, very frustrating. Men get a little crazy because Mars is retrograde. Women's masculine side gets a little crazy. Mm-hmm. And Mars retrograde in Aries is very direct. Mars retrograde is a little passive aggressive. So you're going to say to people, boy, that was passive aggressive. Mm-hmm. And that's what Mars retrograde is. It's very passive. Because Mars in Aries is direct. It tells you what it thinks and it thinks what it says. But mm-hmm. when it's going backwards and it's going backwards in a sign that it normally loves, but it's also having all these arguments with the COVID planets again, and then it has them a third time. But the third time you should have it kind of worked out. Now, the other thing that happens while Mars is retrograde is all the planets that have been going backwards since the time of Taurus now go forward again. So they've all gone back to March too. They've all gone backwards to March. So we're back at March, but not really. And having a big fight. I mean, it's going to be not fun, but our job is to know that what we're doing is giving birth. We were talking before, Jamie, who monitors this, was telling the story of when she was giving birth to their first child. And I'm going to tell a story on Jamie because she told us, but that the doctor kind of looked at her and measured her and looked at her and measured her. And it was a new doctor and he was checking his notes. And then the nurse said, you want me to call the husband in? And she's all nervous. The husband comes in, he's 6'4", Jamie's 5'1". The guy looks at him and goes, okay, well, you're having the baby this week because you're out of room, ready to go. And again, it's once the guy got the perspective of the big dad, he understood why Jamie was going to give birth to 22-inch children. But she's a little short thing. She's supposed to give birth to little short babies, except she hung out with a big guy and got kissed by him and made babies with him, however that happens. And they were big babies. And so she's now the short one in the family. Mars. Oh, you're tall. Okay, that explains why this baby is so long.
Right.
And that's the other part that Mars retrograde gives us. It lets us see, wow, I did see that. You did do that. It's a very clarifying energy too, right?
The retrograde or the Mars?
The retrograde. Because you see, you know, because a lot of times is that Maya Angelou quote, you know, when people show you who they are, believe them. And then she always adds the first time they show you. So Mars retrograde, they show you the second time. Then Mars direct, they show you the third time. So you can't miss it. You know, 1, 2, 3, get ready, get set, go. We see threes everywhere, right?
That's my favorite number, always has been.
Yeah.
So Anne, Paula has a question.
Yes.
And this is the same question I asked last week. Mm-hmm. What if we did have fun from July 25th to now? What if things have been smooth?
That is great. You are one of the lucky. But you watched other people have trouble. So the people that you watched have trouble, you're going to help.
Ah.
Right? Because it's not, I mean, it was somewhere in your chart, but it was in a good place. You got a new job, you got it. Because a lot of people did get new stuff. They finally released something or opened something or started. That's all great. That's positive because they use that action in a positive way. And they have nice aspects in their chart. But if you watched other people have a hard time and you listened to them or consoled them or helped them, you're going to be doing that through, because it's going to be somewhere in your chart. And some people, you know, I've said, well, you know, your chart actually profits from the misfortune of others. And I mean that in a kind way, in that this COVID thing has actually been really profitable for you. And they were like, I feel a little guilty. I'm like, no, your chart, you know, your chart does well when other people have a hard time. And some people do well when people have a hard time. It's okay. You know, that's your version of the transits were good, but then there's going to be an opportunity to fine tune them or do them in a new way, you know, or adjust them somehow because we're shifting again.
I've used this analogy before on the podcast, but I always think of the big wave surfers and how, you know, we can't all be tumbling around in the white water at the same time. We need the people on the jet skis around to pick us up out of the water. So like feeling guilty about being on the jet ski is like, no, actually just go pick people up and do the job and be grateful you can. The other thing, Anne, I've been noticing is that the more I view this as an inside job versus an external thing, the better. So as long as I'm using all this material to find places in myself where there's blocks and unlocked potential and the places where I project out and blame others and think that it's because of them or that I feel this way. As long as I'm doing that, it's pretty miserable. As long as I'm taking responsibility for what's happening and my response or my reaction to it and see the opportunity to use it as like growth material, then it's actually quite rich and quite like, I'm seeing these opportunities for exponential growth and progress. So that's, I would offer, you know, not only about where it's falling in your chart, but also how you're engaging with it. I've noticed this in other people too. It's not just me. I'm noticing the ones who are like, yeah, like this is opportunity. There is possibility. I'm getting better, you know, and even though it's hard, it's uncomfortable, it sucks, you know, all those things. And yet, you know, I'd say it'd be the same as while we're actually giving birth. If we're in there going, oh, this is horrible. And I've had both experiences. I've had both, my two births were totally different. You know, I had the one where it was like, I'm just going to let everybody else take care of me. And I don't want to feel any pain. And I'm just going to go into the hospital and get an epidural and be done with it. That was the painful one. The one where I was like, I'm going to use this to find out how strong I am. I'm going to like, you know, experience everything about it. I'm going to feel everything about it. It was like completely blissful change. You know, it's, so I wouldn't say that sometimes I get annoyed when people talk about blissful birth because I'm like, really? Now we have to be blissful or orgasmic while we're birthing? Like, come on, that's like so much pressure. I know some people do, which is great. But anyway, so I think that perspective, like, is this happening to me? Am I being punished or is this happening for me? Am I here for a reason? You know, I chose this birth time to get me here at this exact moment in time. So what are the gifts? What's it doing for me?
Right, right. And the thing to remember is transits manifest on four levels: spiritual, emotional, intellectual, and physical, right? Mm-hmm. So they're all there. They invite, you know, air, fire, earth, water. You know, how am I seeing it? How is it inspiring me? How do I think about it? How is it inspiring me? Fire. How am I feeling about it? Water. And how am I working with it? Earth. Ooh. Right.
And wait, then do that again. Anne, that's so good. I've never heard this before. Can you
air
please?
Is idea. How do I think about it? You know, mm-hmm. what's the teaching? What's the knowledge position? Fire. How do I vision it? Is it Saturn being mean to me or helpful or maybe a little of both? Cancer, water. How do I feel about it? Emotionally, how do I feel about it? And then physical, Capricorn. What is actually physically happening to me? Because that's the story. And then we look at it and we go, oh, okay, that's what I'm supposed to work with. So in my case, you know, I'm older, I'm a little fat, I have high blood pressure, I'm fat, I'm not a little fat, I'm fat. I have high blood pressure, I'm at comorbid, right? So I've been very worried about it, so I've been very anal. And catching it was, because that's been my Mars transit, was, oh, I was really worried about this. I was really emotionally holding fear and now I've caught it and I'm like done. And then now they're saying you can catch it again. I'm like, I'm not going there.
can't
fool me. No, can't fool me. But it also is understanding this is a psychological understanding time for me. And I go back to what was going on in 91 where I didn't say no when I should have, right? Which is the other lesson is that's where Saturn was in 91. And then in 93, the emotional lesson from spring of 93. So I'm looking at those two lessons and going, I know what happened then. I'm going to do it in a different way. But I wasn't aware of how afraid I was. Saturn rules fear. I wasn't afraid of how painful it was. When I read somebody when I was a baby astrologer and they'd had a really hard Saturn transit and I said, okay, now Saturn's in your, I think it was going into their third house. And they were like, what? I said, well, you know, Saturn, what do you mean Saturn? I thought I was done with him. And I was like, well, you know, he moves from one place in your chart to the next. You know, I'm trying to explain it in a little happy Virgo way, you know, and she's like, oh. And then I said, well, you know, Saturn's still in the sky. He didn't leave. He just moved. And so Capricorn, it asks us to look at the structures we've built. What have we amounted to? What is it? What's of value to us? And he's asking us to say, is it really of value to you? Really, what is of value to you? what is that transformational journey that you either made, took, or you're working on? And of course, Pluto is the renovation, back to the butterfly caterpillar analogy. You got to renovate those structures on some level. And it does, it can be internal, it can be external, it can manifest on emotional, physical, spiritual, or physical, emotional, intellectual, spiritual, or physical level. And it changes you. And so working with it constructively and saying Saturn is the shoulds, the responsibility, you know, my anxiety about canceling clients, my anxiety about doing a good job, you know, it's like, okay, that's good. So pay attention to how you're feeling. You know, you don't feel up to it, go to bed, cancel the clients. It'll be okay. Take care of yourself. In my case, that's what my Saturn lesson is. Go take care of yourself. And I remember when I had a client with this, which interestingly, she had a health matter right before I went down with COVID, and she had had surgery when Saturn was in her 12th, and she'd gotten up in the middle of the night. She's probably going to call the judge. I'm talking about her. They'd done something in the surgery, so she fell and she broke her hip, and she was basically in the house, and she's a massive caregiver, and her lesson was learning how to be taken care of. So now she's getting ready to have the second hip, and I look at the first hip, and I said, well, your lesson then was how to accept help and love. Because you don't normally do that. You normally give to, you know, your kids and your husband and everybody, you know, you work for your husband, you take care of his office. No one ever gives to you. That was your opportunity to receive. And she was like, that's what I learned. I'm like, yeah, you're not going to have a problem with the second hip. And she didn't. And so when she had a little fall this time, maybe it was a hip, but it ended up being a fracture. It wasn't a hip, but it was, I was on it because I knew the energy was there again for her. And so in this time it was just a boot, which was good, but the fear came back. Of, okay, maybe I broke something because I can't walk, but it didn't. It was a different experience. So it's understanding Saturn doesn't want to punish us, but he does want to teach us. And if we're, as my grandfather used to go, Dummkopf, ah, I was a Dummkopf, in his German voice, you know, yeah, don't be a Dummkopf, work with Saturn.
You know, and one of the things I've been noticing about Saturn is that it's giving us this opportunity to intimately learn and experience what fear is, how it operates, how it moves, how it controls, how it attracts in things into our life, and what it tries to do in order to not feel. Like that, I'm witnessing, I'm experiencing, it's like, okay, I feel fear. So I'm going to do everything I can to control everything around me, everyone around me, every experience around me, so that I don't have to feel this vulnerability, this fear of death, this fear of loss, this fear of whatever it is. And it's for me, I feel like we're getting like a PhD level opportunity to understand fear. Again, not for us to stay in it, not for us to be stuck there, but to be like, oh, I see how it paralyzes me. I see how it inhibits my critical thinking. I see how it separates me from everybody in my life. You know, all these things. And that's, for me, has been profound, like within myself, but then, and then also in people around me, it's like, this is what fear does. This is what fear does. It divides us. It keeps us small. It keeps us cowering in our room when we could be living. You know, we could be alive fully. And again, it's not for us to stay there. It's not like, oh, I'm going to put fear in you. I mean, look at what fear's done throughout history. I mean, fear is one of the things that I believe has kept humans stuck and small and totally out of touch with our potential. So this is good. And I would love to ask you this too. This is a personal question.
Pluto is power.
Yep.
And he's with Saturn. So I'm going to try and power over the fear.
Yes.
Right. In your case, Saturn and Pluto are in the 12th house, which is a PhD house. So you're getting the PhD. All of your listeners are getting how to use it in their life because that's their sixth house, right? All your clients. And it is really, if we understand, remember, think about when Saturn and Pluto meet up, we have pandemics, we have wars. What do those both do? They make us afraid.
Oh, yeah. Yes. And question for you.
Yep.
Out of my curiosity and my, maybe I'll do my dissertation on fear here. What did you think the fear was? So you say you didn't realize you had so much fear. Right. What did you think it was? Like, was it?
I thought I was going to die from it.
Wait. But what I mean is, did you? Because what I've seen is that we justify fear. We don't think it's fear. We think it's something else. We think it's logic. We think it's common sense. We think it's, you know. So what did you think the fear was when? Before you knew that you were so afraid?
Well, I know I'm a good astrologer, one. And two, a while back, I don't remember when, but it was a while back, it was between 94 and now, I had somebody say to me, you know, you're dying in 2020.
Who was this person? Was it an astrologer or was it?
Uh-huh, yeah. Oh. And then I went and looked up my stuff and I went, I'm having some kick-ass transits in 2020. So when this showed up, I'm like, I caught in the AIDS epidemic, I caught tuberculosis. I have Neptune in the eighth. I can die of drowning. This was a pneumonia. This is a pneumonia disease. So I've been waiting for 2020.
Thank you so much for sharing that because the reason why this is so important is because astrology can scare us. We can use it to become more afraid versus empowered.
Less afraid.
And that's why, like every single time we talk on any show with Astrology Hub, it's like, all right, what do we do with this? What is the empowering stance with this information? And that's so huge what you just shared, because this is an example of astrology actually being the thing that made you more afraid, and understandably so. I mean, if someone said, hey, you're going to die in 2020 to me, be like, damn, okay. Like, start writing my will and writing my goodbye letters, you know.
Make sure I've got all that in order, right?
Yeah. Especially because we know astrology is so accurate. But so now, was that
I'm not done with 2020 yet, Amanda.
That's true.
That's why I said when Mars gets back to 15 of, you know, when it gets back to November 13th, I'm going to be like, okay, let me be careful because I got this window. So at one point I talked to a medium or something and she said, it's a portal. You don't have to go through it. You don't, you know, it's an opportunity. You don't have to leave. Right. So I was very assertive, doing my vitamins, doing my zinc tablets, blah, blah. And I go out in the public, I put a zinc tablet in my mouth because it kills the virus. So I didn't get it in my lungs. I got it in my head. So I've been very anal about it, you know, in terms of, okay, how do I work with it and what do I do?
Yeah. Well, there's also this opportunity and invitation for all of us. And we don't like to talk about this, but to make peace with death, you know, I mean, we're all going to die. Mm-hmm. So it's like, what do we do with the life we have? What do we do with the moments we have? What do we do to like suck the marrow out of the life that is here? And then
we just had a big witness with it with Chadman Boseman leaving at 42, which is a Saturn opposition. And the interview where he said to people, I am dead, you know, what about Black Panther 2? He goes, I'm dead. And they were like, what about, he says, I'm dead. And he said it three times. He literally said it three times. I'm like, he just told us he knew he was dying. He wasn't going to be in Black Panther 2. And now when you go back and you look at the tapes, watching him in the interviews, you can watch when he gets a little sad or he gets a little, you know, because he's carrying the secret that he has this illness.
But how interesting. I mean, yeah, well, that's a whole nother sidebar. But
but it's also, you don't know it, knowing you're going to go, you know,
yeah,
we all are going to die. We just don't always have an expiration date.
Right.
And sometimes we live in the refrigerator longer than the expiration date.
You know?
And we go, 19, man, that was last year. I didn't throw that away. I just threw out some almond milk. It's not like my favorite. And I'm like, 19, okay, this is probably not good. And the bottle had gotten a little puffy.
I just noticed this because I'm 42 also. Mm-hmm. Kobe was also 42.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And so that, yeah, wow.
This is Saturn opposition. Have you finished your work? You know, it's an exit portal. There's a few of them that happen. 29 is a big exit portal.
Right.
Right. 27 for the lunar return. And it is, have you done your work? Are you ready to go? Or you're at a crossroads. It doesn't always mean an exit, but it means a facing of your Saturn, whatever his story is. and why you have to learn to work with it, you know?
Yeah. Well, I, for one, would love to have you around long beyond 2020.
Not planning on leaving, you know, it's a portal. And honestly, you know, on occasion when I see, you know, something hard in someone's chart, I say, okay, you want to watch out for this. Mm-hmm. And I had a client who had finished a major big karma thing and was really releasing stuff. And he has a really strong aspect in his chart. And I said, you need to be careful about breath and air. There's a danger here around breath and air. So just any situation with breath and air, I want you paying attention and being on it. And he was meditating in a cave, I think off the coast of Thailand. And it was a cave you could get into when the tide was out. And he was in there and he was meditating. He's a yoga guy. And he noticed that the tide didn't come above the shelf. So he thought, well, maybe I'll stay in here and, you know, go the 12 hours and just meditate in darkness in the cave. And then he went, he heard my voice say, and be careful of air, issues with air. And then he went, and then he heard me again. And then he went to go out and the tide was coming in. It was a little hard. And he thought, and then he heard me again and he pushed through and he got to land. And somebody on the land said, it's good you left. We usually lose a few people in that cave because there's not enough oxygen in there for 12 hours.
Wow.
So you can kind of see it, but you don't always know what the energy is about. But you do know the energy, you know, kind of coming in. Right. And so you look and you say, okay, that energy, all right, I'm going to pay attention to that energy structurally. What does it mean?
Mm. And okay, couple questions. Yeah. First of all, wasn't Saturn trying to avoid his death by eating? Well, isn't that the story? He was eating his kids and then
it didn't work because, well, Uranus, he killed his father, right? He killed Uranus. So Uranus said, same thing's going to happen to you. Your kids are going to eat you. So he was like, oh shit, let me eat my kids. Right.
So that's serious karma. Like that's
karma.
His dad and his dad's like, your kids are going to eat you. So I would say the invitation of that myth would be to not to try and avoid the karma, but actually to forgive and resolve and
like work out your problems with your kids if they don't want to kill you. Yeah,
exactly. Like, okay. So that's one lesson there, I think, hidden in that myth because
totally.
Okay, and then the second question is, would you say that it's irresponsible as an astrologer to tell someone that a year or a time is when they're going to die? Or any sort of like prescriptive, like this is a finality and this is the only way this could manifest?
There are different theories on it because in the traditional Vedic system, which is what I was told it by a Vedic energy, Vedic astrologer, was, and then I went and looked at my Western chart and went, man, these are some kick-ass transits, right?
Yeah.
And in their culture, you have to get your job done in this incarnation and you have until this to do it. So it's actually a responsibility where they tell you, right?
Which is different, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, because karmically, you've got to get this done by then.
Right. Or,
you know, because that's your exit port. Now, in modern medicine, we keep people past their expiration dates. We save them, right? So when I took a medieval course with Bernadette Brady, she said, you may find out you've already died because you had something happen that would have killed you and you lived through it due to modern medicine, right? So when my uncle got sick, he had a tumor in his bladder from, he was a smoker. So, you know, the nicotine forms tumors. So they did the tumor. And when they were scanning him, they noticed he had an aneurysm in his abdomen. Now all his siblings dropped dead at 62. He was from a family of like 11, I think. And all the siblings above him dropped dead at 62. And there was this big aneurysm. So they operated on the abdominal aneurysm. And then they said, check the ones behind you. The ones behind him all had it too. So those kids all lived past 62. But the other ones all went boom, boom, boom at 62. They were done because the abdominal aneurysm that they were inherited ruptured, right? So there's a story there where we repeat the story. My neighbor across the street dropped dead on our porch. My dad was a doctor, so he rang the doorbell, but he had an aneurysm and he dropped dead. He was 38, left the widow and the two kids. The oldest daughter dropped dead at 38 of an aneurysm in the same part of the brain. So that's why when I, you know, where they say, hey, you know, you've got this thing, go get it checked. You inherit things positively from the father too. but you also can inherit. And a lot of times, psychologically, if you lose a parent at a young age, when you get to be that age, you get a little weird, right? Because, mm-hmm. and then once you get past it, you don't know how to live because you don't have the model ahead of you of that parent, right? Mm-hmm. So it's a very interesting thing. And I, of course, have Saturn in Scorpio, in which is the sign of death, in the eighth house, which is the sign of death. And, you know, and so when people say to me, well, when am I going to die? I go, well, there's modern medicine and you can get saved a lot. You know, it's not, and also as a Western astrologer in the organizations I'm in, ethically, I ethically have taken a vow not to say that, you know, it's part of the ethics, but I can refer you to astrologers that'll tell you when you're going to die. Do you want me to do that? You know, because I know who will tell you when you're going to die. And, you know, or, you know, to the best of their ability, obviously. So, but so there's the, you know, so it's a changing portal. It's like a, my uncle had a portal. Then 7 years later, he got the cancer again. That time he had a heart issue, lived through that. And then 14 years after the first cancer, that's when he left. And again, we hear Saturn when we hear 7 years, right? So yeah, he's a big guy.
So my love, who mm-hmm. came in, we had our first date when Saturn went into Capricorn. Yeah, December 21st, 2017. Mm-hmm. And I've been asking him questions just because I like to interview people, as you all know. And I've been asking him about joy because he is like committed. He would never use that word, but joy is something that he sees as like the ultimate invitation, especially now when it's really hard to like find that joy and live in that joy. So I asked him, what do you see as the most important ingredient in being able to live with joy? And he said, in myself and what I see in others who are truly joyful, they know they're already dead. They're already dead. I'm already dead. They're already dead. And so then they can live with the joy and without the fear of death. And I was like, whoa, okay. Right. Like that's some good stuff right
that's
there.
That's really big. That's
really big. And
it gives you such a different perspective. Yeah,
exactly. Anybody who's had the near-death experiences that has come back, it's those people I've met and read books and watched movies of these people. They're able to access that joy because it's like, hey, I'm not afraid of that anymore because you know what? It actually is kind of nice over there. Like it's not this thing that we
it's actually a little more fun than here.
Yes, I actually didn't want to come back, you know?
Right.
And then there's that knowing of like, okay, every moment is so very precious.
Precious.
So precious.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And this, like, there's so much juicy stuff that we've talked about. I feel like we could go on forever because, like, everything you said, I'm like, there's a tendril there. We could go there. We could go there.
Yeah.
We'll
wrap it up. It's a very philosophical discussion because Jupiter is stationing, Amanda.
Oh,
He's stationing at 12 and he's saying, what do you believe? What's important? And he's stationing in the decant of Capricorn and he's saying, what is it you want to love? Because Taurus is all about love and growing and abundance. What's your passion? And Venus has gone into Leo, the sign of creativity and joy.
Nice.
Okay.
Yeah. One more thing you just reminded mm-hmm. me. Mm-hmm. I was going through a really challenging time this weekend, a moment.
Yeah, it was a nasty, nasty weekend. I said it was going to be
nasty. Oh, you did.
Sunday was nice, but Friday and Saturday, nasty.
Yeah.
Nasty.
Intense. Yeah. Intense. And you said earlier, you said the COVID clump, as you call it, there's lots of different names. We have the Capricorn Council from Brett, and we have the Capricorn Cluster from Rick Levine. So you all have your names for it. You said that they have grabbed our attention, which is so true, right? So, and I don't know if all of you are noticing them in the sky, but literally they look like almost like two, like Saturn and Jupiter look like two eyes in the sky right now. And in the morning, you can see Mars, like kind of over here, you know, so you have like these two eyes. And so
the bull ready to run at them, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So I've been looking at them in the sky a lot. And actually my daughters are, oh, which one's Jupiter and which one's Saturn? And you know, we're looking at them every night. And then I imagine Pluto in the middle, like you can't see it, but we know Pluto's there.
We know he's in there. Yeah.
And I'm offering this because it really helped me in this intense moment. So when I was in this intense moment, I saw them in the sky. I had my eyes closed and I saw them. And instead of like you know, I was in a place where it was more like, not, what's the opportunity? But
you weren't like happy.
I wasn't, exactly. So but what I did is I said, all right, fine, work on me. Churn in me, on me. Like, what do I need to see here? What is the opportunity? Where is it? Because like, I can't see it. So do your thing, like have your way with me right now. And it was instantaneous. I had the breakthrough in what I needed to say. It turned the entire situation into something totally different, but the insights and the realizations of what was really happening, not the illusion of like, whatever, it was the reality, which was profound and offered incredible healing. So I think that, you know, in all the sky astrologers are always talking about this, like we can actually be in relationship. We can actually be in communication. And when we do that, it takes not only our astrology to a whole nother level, but our experience of life, right, and the magic and the unity that's truly present, that we think we're separate from all these things and we're not. And there are allies. You know, Donna Woodwell would always say, you know, there are allies. They're here for us. So
there are tribal council.
Exactly. So I basically said to the tribal council, what do I need to see? What is here? Do your thing, show me. And it was amazing. Like one of those miracle moments. Yep. So I just invite you all, like, try it, see how it works for you. See, like, go out at night, look at them, say hello. I'm here. I see, like, yeah.
You get up in the morning and you look at the sun and you see what kind of day you're going to have. Right.
Ah,
yeah. We like him, but the other guys are just as important. Right. And then the other piece of it is, when we ask them for help, they show up.
Yes.
We have free will on Earth.
Yes.
So we're invited to work with them.
Yes.
In a productive and collaborative way. They are our teachers. They are our teachers. In Genesis, the stars are in the heavens to guide you. The wise men followed Jupiter and Saturn was a conjunction in Pisces at the same declination like we're having this year. And that was Pisces, the fisher king was born. Mm. A fisher of men king was born. They followed Jupiter and Saturn to Bethlehem. That's how they knew where he was, you know. And when the Dalai Lama was found, the one that's running the place now, they were like, okay, he was born over there. Let's go find the kid. And they brought his staff and they brought one of his teachers. And when he went in, he was two. He knew the teacher's name. He recognized his staff. And then they said, by the way, you have the Dalai Lama and we need to take him. You know, he's our guy. He reincarnated with you. So the scars guide us. And if we ask them for help in the same way we ask anybody for help, the help is, as Mr. Rogers says, the helpers are there. But if you're in your, I have to do it myself and I'm the only one that can do it, or you're in a divided, fearful state, you don't think to ask for help.
Exactly.
Right? You don't think to say, hey, I need a little help. But when you ask, boom, it comes in. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
From any of the planets. Any of the planets. Yeah.
Try it. Remember that. It's hard to access when you're in that place, like you just said, when you're in that like victim, life's happening to me place, it's hard to access it, but make a little note right now to do that and just to have the insight when you need to have it. Mm-hmm. And let us know how it goes. And let us know if you're already doing that. Some people are already doing that, but if you're going to play with this and experiment, just let us know. Okay.
There's an excellent book I'm going to recommend people by Carolyn Casey called Making the Gods Work for You. Mm. And what she does is she gets you thinking about the planets as different gods, because they are planetary gods. That's what they were. And remember, they were archetypes that were worshipped for years. So they all were there to teach us things. And so she talks to you about, in her book, like working with the energies collaboratively, collaborating with the energies and working with them positively. Mm-hmm. So it's a great book, especially for more beginner astrologies.
What's it called again?
Making the Gods Work for You, Carolyn Casey, C-A-S-E-Y. Okay. She's a great astrologer.
Yeah. So, Rick talks about her a lot. I think
that's friends. She's wonderful. Yeah. She's absolutely wonderful. She's one of my, like I see her and I want to like kiss her feet. I'm like, no, don't do that. Don't do that. I'll collaborate and make the world a better place. I'm like, all right, I can do that. But yeah, no, she really is truly an amazing astrologer. And she does have very good Facebook. And she also does a lot of stuff on Pacifica. And Rick actually taught a class with her, I think it was last year or the year before, in Bali. We went off to Bali and taught together. You know, she's very magical like he is. You know, he's kind of like a Merlin.
Yeah.
She's kind of like a, she's a magician, trickster, visionary activist. So she's very much about like, how do we transform things and work with them collaboratively and create, you know?
God, I'd love to interview her. I'm calling that in.
Okay. Calling that one in. Yeah. She's really good. Yeah.
Okay. So here we go. Summary. Mm-hmm. We are, Mars is about to go retrograde. Mm. Jupiter's stationing to go direct. Mm. We are in a quote unquote crisis of consciousness.
Yep.
So there is awareness that is coming to us. We are having an opportunity to revise the storylines that presented themselves July 25th to September 9th. So the opportunity to go back, revisit, rethink, revise, rework, all those rewords, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Till November 13th. Oh, I thought of another reword. Sorry, this is total sidebar. Mm-hmm. Reality. Like totally. Rethink reality and what it actually is and what it, mm-hmm. how our role in it. Okay. This also might be a time for us to change plans, revisit ideas, change plans. And that's the biggest thing I have, Anne.
Yep, and take two approaches. Moon is in Taurus today, tomorrow, and Taurus, good closing aspects. It goes into Gemini. So it's going to be in Gemini in the Mars retrograde chart, which means we have to look at both sides of the story. We have, you're going to be really happy because it's your moon. We have to look at, yes, A and B, and the Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday moons have good closing aspect. The weekend, 11th and 12th, is a little tough. The 13th and 14th next week, Sunday and Monday, are easy. And again, you know, we're in that weekend theme. You know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday was tough this week, and this last week you had a hard time, and it was Moon in Aries. This week it's Moon in Cancer, so it's separating emotional, the 11th, the 12th, and then it's the 13th that goes into Leo. So Friday and Saturday are emotionally tough this week. Hmm. So just, you know, be kind.
That's a weekend thing again.
Oh, yeah, it's running on the weekends, man. That's where the moons are in cardinal signs. So they're aspecting the COVID clump, the Capricorn cluster, or whatever the other
one. Capricorn Council we have.
Council, okay. Yeah. And then what does Rick call it?
The Capricorn cluster. You can add the if you want.
Okay. So moon aspects them this week, emotionally making you aware of things you need to see.
Yes. Okay.
Last week you saw it. This week you have to do something about it. So.
Right. Okay. Yeah. All right, everybody. We have talked about Rick quite a bit, so I'm just going to tell you all about the opportunity we have right now for you to
get your excellent opportunity.
Astrology foundations. He hasn't taught this in decades, and I'm so honored that he's teaching it with us through us. So pre-sale is open right now for Astrology Foundations with Master Astrologer Rick Levine. The class isn't actually going to start until October 4th, but if you want to get in now, you can get access to his quincunx bonus, which is a mastery class on working with quincunxes in the chart and what that means. And then you also get your coupon code for 50% off the Astrology of Relationships workshop he did with us last year. So you can just kind of like get started and get oriented with some materials before class officially starts on October 4th. It's a 5-week experience, and you're going to learn just the foundations of astrology through his lens, which, as you all know, every astrologer has a different way that they approach astrology. So if you resonate with the way that Rick does astrology, this will be a great way for you to like understand the underpinnings and get the foundation. We're going to follow up with a chart reading course with him. But so you go to astrologyhub.com/foundations, astrologyhub.com/foundations. Again, we're like not really officially open, but we're just making it available to those of you who want to dive in and just reserve your spot now.
Yeah. And he's doing it after all the COVID cluster clump, go direct. Pluto goes direct the first week in October. So he's starting this class after everybody's direct. So he'll, you know, good Capricorn knowledge coming in on it.
Exactly.
And Rick is one of the best teachers in the astrology world. Yeah.
I mean, I feel so lucky to have you and him as like our anchor shows at Astrology Hub. I'm like, it couldn't be more perfect. And I'm just so honored that you both trust us to, provide the platform that allows you to do your work in the way that you feel good about. Like that's the...
Yeah, well, it's such a hard time on earth, and our job as astrologers is to help people. And, you know, I've been in conferences with him where we're out for dinner after the conference and he whips out his iPad and he does a reading for the waiter or the waitress. Oh. You know, no, because, you know, there's a need and he, yes. Okay, let me, and I'm like, you carry that with you. Like, he said, you never know when you need to do a reading. And I'm like, okay, that's Rick. Yeah, it's Rick. He's a wonderful, generous, wonderful soul. So, yeah.
You know, having you two around, there's so many times where I'll be listening to you and it's like, I feel like we're getting to sit at the, and just receive this, okay?
And I'll be good.
It's gonna be hard for you. But like to sit at the feet of the great philosophers or the great teachers throughout history that you read about now and you go, wow, what would it have been like to like be sitting there listening? I feel like we get to do that now with you. And there's something about the experience that you have that it's irreplaceable. There's amazing, great, young, emerging astrologers. And I love that energy too. And to have the Capricorn in me just also really appreciates.
Like old guys.
I mean, you know, I would say our wisdom keepers, but okay.
It's good.
Yeah, but no, I mean, really, yeah. It's such an honor. So I just want to thank you and thanks to Rick. And for any of you that want to tune into that, you can go to astrologyhub.com/foundations and reserve your spot now.
He's so good. He's so,
and he's
and
so
really,
excited.
Honestly, he doesn't do this kind of stuff. So it's
I know.
One of my students said to me, I'm like, Rick's teaching a foundation course. I thought, I think I'm going to sign up for it, you know, because she was like, I signed up. And I'm like, great. Wow, really? Great. Rick's teaching. Okay, cool.
Exactly.
So I'm like, yeah.
That's how I feel. I'm like, oh my God, the perfect time, perfect place. And he's ready and he's excited. Mm-hmm. And yes, I invite astrologers.
And he's such a generous teacher. Yeah.
All right.
He was, when we would have the debriefs after the thing, he was always the last one in because his class always ran a little over because he wasn't done yet. So we'd have to wait for him. And he would always come, but he was always like, ah, you know. And then the guy who ran the thing started meeting in his room.
Oh my God.
We moved to work. So we would come and stand in the doorway like this. And Rick would be like, okay, I guess we have to wrap up now. You know?
Yes.
Oh yeah, it was God. Good. Yeah.
I just have to tell you, I mean, we obviously just want to chat.
It's a social kind of day. It's Moon and Doris, you know?
I just dropped my pen. And before we went live, I told my daughter, Sophia Virgo, that a few days ago, I dropped my pen when we were live. And I panicked because you know how I am. I'm like taking my notes, but it's weird to like go down and like get your pen while we're live. So I literally just dropped my pen again. And Sophia crawled over on the ground and picked it up and just handed it to me. And I gave her a little pet on the head. It was so sweet. My God. Okay.
Thank you, Virgo. Sophia.
Yeah, thank you, Sophia. When's your birthday, Anne?
The 11th.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, the 11th.
The 11th, yeah.
That's Friday. This week.
That is Friday. Yep.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Amazing.
Thank you.
Yay.
Yeah. I have Mars stationing and Jupiter stationing in my solar return chart. I'm like between the two. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, big year.
Birthday.
Big year.
We're so happy you're here. Thank you so much for being here and sharing your gifts with us every week.
Yay.
All right. And thanks.
Sharing astrology with the world. We love it.
Yes. And it's because the world keeps showing up that we get to keep doing this. So thanks all of you. For being
for
here,
coming
for
in.
Joining us, and for just being so enthusiastic. You make this so much fun for us to do every week. So thank you for being here, and thank you for making astrology a part of your life and being open and being part of the people who like have the eyes to see and the ears to hear and are open to these like ancient mysteries, you know, applying them in modern times is pretty amazing.
Most important, yeah.
Yes. All right, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
And we'll see you soon.
Okay. Bye.
Have a great week.